to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018. I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day.
And I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And we're best friends.
Hi, Joss.
Hi, Kristen.
How's your Chardonnay?
It is delicious.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm so glad.
Yes.
And we just had dinner together and we had a great time. And this episode is called the Chardonnay Edition. So we thought we'd talk a little bit about fictional friendships, fictional characters. And we were thinking, wow, what a great idea. We'll do this podcast about fictional female friendships.
Right.
And we sat there looking at each other thinking,
who do we like for friends?
We Googled it and we're like, oh.
We Googled it. We thought like, okay, let's go to iconic female friendships in fiction. And we didn't come up with a whole heck of a lot.
Thelma and Louise, who ran themselves off of a cliff.
You know, Romy and Michelle, their high school reunion. I came up with Muriel's Wedding. But it's interesting that these are like 90s phenoms.
Right.
And not really present day.
Right.
So our first thought was, who in fiction on television and movies would we want to be our friend?
Right. We're talking about healthy relationships here.
Healthy, strong women that we love.
Not dysfunctional, funny, hilarious women.
Right.
The healthy ones.
So, yes. We like, I mean, dysfunctional, hilarious, and funny is great, but we're looking for great friendships here. Number one choice, Beth from This Is Us.
For real. Right? I would be best friends with that woman in a heartbeat.
Okay. So this is Randall's wife on This Is Us. Best wife, great mother. She's sharp. She's funny. She's capable.
She's fantastic. She's perfect.
She is. I mean, this is fiction, but don't you want to go have Chardonnay with Beth instead of me?
I would pay her to be my friend.
So she's a great role model for friendship. I mean, you don't see her with friends on the show.
But she's such a great friend to her husband.
Yes.
And it's incredible to watch them together because they do act like friends and then they do act like lovers.
Yes.
And then they do act like spouses. It's really interesting to see how fluid their relationship
is. It's very multifaceted.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of the healthiest and most realistic depictions of marriage on television. Because they know each other so well. They call each other on each other's bull.
Mm-hmm.
They're there for each other, supportive, loving, even in their disagreements.
Right.
They really have like the ideal marriage, but also the ideal friendship.
Yeah.
So, Beth, if you're looking for friends,
yes,
we are available.
And I will get you. And so.
Next on my list, Joss, was Queen Elizabeth II. I am not ashamed to admit I'm addicted to The Crown.
Love that show.
And QE2 is amazing.
Yeah.
She is an incredibly strong woman,
right,
as depicted in the show.
Right.
And she is the kind of person who really shows up, does her job, does it well. She's uncomplaining. She's stoic. I think she'd be a great friend for those reasons.
Yeah.
And her friendship with Princess Margaret, her sister,
right,
is a study in forgiveness.
Yeah.
Right?
It really is. I'd love to be her friend. I don't know how good a friend I would be to her just because I think I'd spend so much time trying to dissect her and because she's such an interesting character on the show.
Right. I mean, but let's face it, Joss, you and I we're good daughters, good sisters. We show up when we're needed. We relate to her stoicism and her sense of duty.
Yes.
And we certainly admire her.
Right.
As portrayed by Claire Foy in the movie.
She's kind of practical. I don't want to give anything away, but there is a moment where her marriage, she questions her husband's fidelity.
Right.
And the way she wants to proceed is in a very practical way.
Yeah.
One that I really didn't think she would go with. I thought she'd be more romantic about it, but she...
Yeah.
No way.
But I would love to see Queen Elizabeth kick off her sturdy shoes and have a couple glasses of Chardonnay with us.
That would be fantastic.
Right? Okay.
She could say shit once. The price would be paid, yes.
Our next best friend from TV is Khaleesi from Game of Thrones.
Not our recent guest.
Not our Dr. Khaleesi. No, no. We're talking about
Daenerys Stormborn.
Right. House of Targaryen. And we love her friendship with Melisandre.
No, it's...
Missandra. Yeah.
Never.
Okay.
The Game of Thrones.
It's that beautiful, perfect woman.
Yes, who's gorgeous.
Oh, yes. And speaks like 1,100 languages.
Yes, that's the one. I love that relationship because it's got so many layers. Daenerys and Missandre are equals in a sense. They've both been raped, defiled, enslaved. They're not equals because one is a queen and one isn't. They're still equals because Missandre could ask Khaleesi to leave, as she said in one episode, and Daenerys would give her the money and a boat to go.
Yes. So it's, you know, they are mutually beneficial to each other, but right. they respect each other.
Yeah.
They like each other. There is that power dynamic.
Right.
But I think they're overcoming it. And they're overcoming it gradually, so.
Yeah. I think there's a sincerity there that there might not be with other relationships. Between a monarch and someone who is not a monarch.
Right, right.
For example, if Cersei was our friend.
Yeah, let's not invite her. No Chardonnay for you,
none,
Cersei.
None.
Yeah, Cersei is, of course, the evil queen of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And...
can't imagine being her friend.
She'd cannibalize you.
She'd kill me the minute I disagreed with her, right?
No, she would.
Yeah.
It's so interesting, you know, when I read historical accounts of powerful, famous monarchs, you think it's almost in some ways akin to Hollywood and superstars. Like I'm thinking Michael Jackson or Brad Pitt or Angelina Jolie, where do you have anyone around you who tells you the truth?
Right.
And if they do you behead them?
Right. Right. Sure.
We also don't want to be friends with Sansa Stark.
Nah.
No sense of humor, Sansa. Yeah. She's, you know, a strong
And Arya would probably kill us.
Arya would kill us within 10 minutes.
Yes.
Or just leave us for dead.
Yes.
You know, we would starve to death.
And then use our faces for bad things. Right? She'd put our faces on and go off and do bad things.
Right. And then people would think ill of us. We looked at other famous friendships, Monica, Rachel, and Phoebe. You know, Friends is a sitcom about friends, and we both admitted that we had very little tolerance for the show. It's great that they're three different personalities who love and accept each other, but beyond that, it's a little superficial.
Yeah, agreed.
Sex and the City. What do you think? I have never seen an episode.
I used to watch it very religiously and then have tried to go back to it in the years since it's been off the air and realize that it's kind of superficial also. It's really all about the clothes, which is fine. They're beautiful.
It's escapist.
The shoes are beautiful. Their relationship is always part of the story.
Right.
Which is refreshing.
Do you find it realistic the way that they interact? Do they call each other on their BS? Do they?
They do, but the BS that they're calling each other on is BS.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
It's again,
stupid.
It's about the shoes and the drinks.
It's really about the shoes and the drinks. Okay. I think the most real it's ever been was I think Samantha was diagnosed with cancer. And that was great. I think the way they treated her and the way she handled the cancer was great. It was interesting. I don't know. I never spoke to anyone who had cancer to see if that was authentic or sincere at all. But there was a great scene, which I relate to now, where she was giving a speech. She had had chemo, and one of her side effects was hot flashes, and so she pulled off her wig in the middle of the speech because she was sweating like a pig.
Girl, we feel you.
Yes, and I've been there.
Same here. So we go from Manhattan and Cosmopolitans to prison for my next favorite friendship, Tasty and Poussey on Orange is the New Black. I really loved their friendship. You know, they're from very different backgrounds, but they both find themselves in prison.
Wow.
As one does.
Yes.
And they have a slight disagreement over the character of V, who's quite evil. But Tasty and Poussey stay friends. They love and support each other. They really feel each other's pain in a beautiful demonstration of acting. I think those two women are brilliant at demonstrating the love and the difficulty of loving someone in a difficult circumstance.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're both in prison. Sure. So that's their difficult circumstance.
Yeah.
Another great friendship is Bridesmaids.
Love that movie. That movie is so great.
And I'm thinking of the friendship that most affected me was not between the bride and Kristen Wiig or Helen, the evil bridesmaid. It was Melissa McCarthy and Kristen Wiig. And obviously, Melissa McCarthy stole that entire movie.
Of course.
Got an Oscar nomination for it. Did you
Amazing.
Know
Amazing. I didn't realize that. That's great.
But she has that iconic scene where she comes into Kristen Wiig's house and starts slapping her.
Yes.
But she talks about, you know, taking yourself out of self-pity. And she says something like, do you want a friend?
Yeah.
I'm right here.
Right.
And that's really great because Kristen Wiig is sort of fixated on this friendship from her childhood.
Right.
As being the friendship of
the
her life.
The only one. The only friend you can have.
Right. Yeah. She's my best friend.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that we women tend to do is right. like, no, she's my best friend.
Right.
Quick side story.
Okay.
When I was in first grade, we moved to the house where I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And I rode the bus with my lovely friend, Beth.
Mm-hmm.
But Beth had been friends with Jeannie first. Oh. So we'd go down the road about a mile and Beth and I would sit together for that mile. But then when we stopped at Jeannie's stop, I would have to sit back from them because Beth and Jeannie always sat together.
Yes.
And even at age 7, that was carved in stone.
Right.
And sorry, Jeannie Mahoney, but guess who's still friends? Beth and I. So I don't know where you are, Jeannie, but you were really nice and I loved you. But but there was sort of this, in the movie Bridesmaids, there was this idea of rank in friendship. And Helen was trying to push the best friend out of the way.
Right.
And yet she was so much more capable of handling the traditional bridesmaid's duties.
Yeah, there's an interesting sort of, and I don't know if anyone's ever explored this, I just thought of this, it could be the Chardonnay.
Oh, it's the Chardonnay. For sure.
There's an interesting dynamic of Helen being rich and having more resources than the Kristen Wiig character, and how that class differentiation.
Keep going, you're doing great.
Thank you. Maybe I'll have more wine. How that class differentiation made her better able to be the bride's best friend than her longtime poorer.
Kind of loser
friend.
Yeah.
So there was certainly like, I have more money. I should get this.
I will give away golden retriever puppies as a party favor.
Yes.
And then there's Melissa McCarthy, who's this incredibly sincere, down to earth, open book person who would love to be friends with Kristen Wiig. And Kristen's just too busy feeling sorry for herself in the movie. So I loved that Melissa McCarthy's character gave her a chance to get outside of her bullshit.
And saw that,
Be a better person.
I loved how unexpected that was. Because it was for me. When I first saw that movie, I didn't think she was going to come in and be such a good friend to her.
Yeah. And she's at first used as comic relief. But in a lot of ways, she's really the heart of the movie.
Yes.
So well done, Melissa. We love you.
Yeah.
Another iconic friendship from television and the movies is Romy and Michelle and their high school reunion.
Yeah.
And what I loved about that is that they're two kind of dim bulbs.
Yeah.
But they love each other.
Right.
They're together. Don't they? They own a store.
They own a store. No, they own a store at the end. In the beginning, they want to own the store. Oh, okay.
That's right. That's right.
And they were sort of thrown together as the outcasts who thought that they were fabulous.
Right.
They were the only ones who thought they were fabulous.
Which I love. Yeah. Because really, it only takes one other person.
Right. And you've got a crew.
In writing, we say like, none of the no's matter. It only takes one yes.
Yeah.
Right? So you get rejected 100 times, but that one agent says yes. Or the publisher or the reviewer.
Somebody.
Who loves your book. And that's all it takes. And in friendship, it only takes one.
Yeah.
You know, if someone else thinks you're fabulous, boom. Right. You are. You know? So, we loved them. We loved their grandiose notions of thinking they could pass themselves off as the inventors of sticky notes. And that's really a delightful movie.
Yeah.
If you're looking for gal pal movies.
Yeah.
Hidden Figures.
I like this movie very much.
Of course. We saw it together.
We did. Yeah. Burst into tears.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I thought their friendships were like set in stone. It was a foregone conclusion. They were already friends. Yeah. They were always gonna be friends. I loved how solid and stable that was.
Yeah, and I think that the way the movie, and I'm sorry, I haven't read the book yet, but the way the movie depicted it is, here are these three incredibly capable, gifted women who are women and black and in the space program in the early 60s. And so all the cards are stacked against them.
Mm-hmm.
They could not have done what they did without that foundation of friendship that they had.
I agree.
So I really loved that about the movie, in addition to them being frickin' brilliant.
Yeah, so smart.
They were also really good friends.
Yeah.
And then one of my other favorite friendships, and this is going way back, I would make my kids watch this movie. We have like throwback movies every once in a while. Muriel's Wedding, an Australian movie starring the great Toni Collette.
Love her.
And Rachel Griffith. And it's a story about a young woman who wants very much to get married, but it turns out that the most important relationship in her life is with her best friend. So one of the things that Joss and I discovered as we were scrabbling for this podcast after a glass or two of Chardonnay was there's not a lot of current girl power, girl friendship, female friendship movies out there or television shows. We have instead Big Little Lies.
I haven't seen that.
Oh,
is it really good?
It's really fun to watch.
Yeah.
Just because it's set in Monterey and the houses are fabulous.
Mm.
But it is a story about these women kind of making friendships out of necessity.
Mm.
Each woman is very isolated in her own respect, and they become friends kind of because they need friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this underlying message about how critical female friendship is to life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have the Reese Witherspoon character who's kind of floundering in her own life. She has nothing to complain about, but she's not happy.
Mm-hmm.
You have a single mother who's definitely kind of the sore thumb in this very wealthy community. You have the Nicole Kidman character who seems to have this perfect life. You have the Reese Witherspoon's husband's new wife, Lenny Kravitz's daughter.
Oh, Zoe Kravitz.
Yes, yeah. She's so beautiful. And she's so nice. Mm. Like, you know, I think the Reese Witherspoon character wants to hate her but can't. But it really kind of underlies... It has this message, this underlying message of, you know, all this other stuff is happening, but without female friends, you don't have a foundation.
Right.
Which is a really powerful message, I think.
It's huge.
I love the show Catastrophe.
I don't know this show, but I have it on my list now.
Yeah, it's a great show. I think it's on Netflix or Amazon Prime. But it's got a really fun friendship in that... it's got these old friends, and they don't really have anything in common anymore except that they have these shared experiences from their youth.
Mm-hmm.
So they sort of connect again, but do they really like each other? Mm. And it's very, I think it's very realistic mm-hmm. about sort of like, we're having dinner with them because I couldn't find a way out of it.
Right.
And yet there's more to that person, sometimes because of the shared history, than personalities, than meets the eye. I'm also a fan of the show Divorce.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And Thomas Hayden Church. Right. I guess you have to have three names
to
star in
that
show. To star
in that show, yes.
I'm going to start using my middle
name. Yes.
But that has some really interesting friendships in there, too. And, you know, is it a great example of how powerful female friendships are? No, but it's an entertaining show. Mm-hmm. Your best friend from HBO would be...
Issa Rae from Insecure.
Right.
I love that show.
Yeah, she's so funny.
She's so funny, and she and her best friend are... Like, there are scenes in the second season where Issa has... she cheated on her boyfriend.
Wow.
Got caught. He left. And she's dealing with that aftermath. And she decides that she's going to be a hoe for a while. She's been dying to do it since college. And her friend is like, yes, do it. Have your hoe moment. And I think their support of each other is so cool. I think they're cool in general.
Yeah.
And... the things that they struggle with, they struggle together. I enjoy how much they call each other on their shit.
Yeah.
But still come together afterwards. Yeah. Like, they call each other on their shit so bad that you think that this is going to ruin their relationship.
Right.
But in later scenes, they come right back and they're always there for each other.
Now, I've only seen a couple episodes, but are they friends from childhood?
That's never discussed. Okay. I know they're close friends, part of a group of four friends, but they're closer than...
Okay.
And the four together are hilarious. Yeah. There's one friend of theirs in that group of four. I can't remember her name. She's a little heavy. She's fucking hilarious. Excuse me. She's hilarious. there's one episode where they go to some party, they go to some after hours joint to have pancakes, as one does when you're in your 20s. And she gets this sort of, suddenly gets this kind of vapid, spacey look on her face, and it turns out someone's giving her a hand job under the table.
Wait, which restaurant is this? I'm asking for a friend.
One of the great things about the show is it's so surprising that way.
Right.
You know, I've been out in my 20s, after hours place. It never occurred to me that people were doing that. Possibly, yes. I was very naive in my 20s. And that her friends are so funny and cool about it. She herself is really cool about it, even as she struggles.
Right.
So the two of them together, she and her best friend, who is an attorney, and is a bit more successful.
Yeah.
So works for a dot org, non-for-profit type thing, not making as much money. And so her attorney friend is a bit more successful, but still struggles.
Yeah.
I mean, ended up having an affair with a man she's known since she was a child. He's married, but he and his wife have an open relationship.
Oh, yeah. Sure you do.
And they have this really hot affair, and then she meets the wife. Who knows? Because the relationship is open.
Right.
And everything's on the table. God. And the awkwardness of that.
Awkwardness ensues. Yes. Yeah. So another show that I think portrays friendship really well is this little known show. I mean, I'm saying it's little known. Maybe it's huge. But it's called Fleabag.
It's on my list
and
now.
My daughter and I watched it. My adult daughter. She's 22. We both loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a really fascinating show about female friendship because one of the friends dies.
Oh, wow.
Before the show begins. So Fleabag is the title character. She's dealing with life. It's hilarious and heartbreaking. because she's going through all these shenanigans and craziness, but what's driving her is her grief over her friend. Mm-hmm. And it's a really unexpected, kind of brutally honest depiction of how much friendship matters and how you might not realize it till it's too late. Now, we both write a lot about female friendships, and we were talking before the Chardonnay podcast about, you know, it's very easy to write a toxic friend. You know, it makes for great drama, and it's a lot of like juicy, delicious angst and woe. And I've done that at least once in my books. But what's much more gratifying, and I think what's especially true in my latest book, what's it called? Now that you mentioned it.
Too much Chardonnay for you.
I call that my girl power book because there's this band of female friends. There's Rosaline and Jawen and Nora and Gloria. And these four women who kind of come together. Rosie and Nora are longtime friends. Jawen is a friend from high school, and they kind of reconnect, and the bond of female friendship is incredibly strong. And that's also true in my upcoming novel, Good Luck With That, which more than anything else to me is the story of how friends get you through.
Yes.
And you know, there's a lot of, there's a big romantic storyline in that book, but it's really about the two women and their friendship and how there's that one friend to whom you can tell anything.
Right.
And you know she's got your back.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's an idealized vision.
No.
I think most of us are blessed with that one friend and sometimes more.
More, yeah.
You know, I mean, I can think of three or four friends I have, you included, of course, of, you know, no matter how much I might have messed up, you would stand by me.
Oh, yeah.
Not by my mistake, but by me.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
And you write so powerfully about friendship in Undertow, and
I try. I know I started... I thought there was a dearth of friendships in fantasy and urban fantasy and paranormal books. Most of the heroines in those books are orphans,
right?
Super strong, super fast, super fabulous.
Kind of like, I don't have time for women friends.
Right. And I wanted to show that you could still have this kind of urban fantasy setting and still have all of the things that most people have in their life. I want people to be able to relate to it. So most people have friends and are not orphans.
Right. It's also that family of choice.
Yeah.
Which we talk about a lot. You know.
Absolutely.
We're not. I have a wonderful sister who is my best friend. Hi, Hill. Love you. But not everybody gets that.
Right.
So... you know, we were talking in earlier episodes about soul sisters and sisters of the heart. But there is definitely that I choose you as my sister.
Right.
You know.
Right. So for most of Undertow, Sarah takes her friend Dragon for granted, not realizing how much of a friend she really was and how much she sort of should have cherished this, how much she benefited from this relationship.
Yeah.
She betrays her friend terribly.
Oh, God, yes.
It's horrible, terribly. And in the sequel, she spends, which I'm writing now, she spends a good amount of time trying to figure out not only how to save her friend, because in the previous book, she was horrible to her friend, how to save her, but also how to get that friendship back.
Yeah, to redeem herself.
Redeem herself and to be a friend to her again. Right. So that's podcast is really great for that, because... we haven't yet discussed how to, after you've been dumped or have dumped or hurt your friend, how to fix that.
Well, you know, I have some friends who go back, gosh, 4 or 5 four decades now. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I mentioned Beth from the school bus. Beth, I still consider Beth one of my best friends.
Yeah.
Have we ever fought and clashed? Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we grew up together. So right. It was like hundreds of times, like every other weekend we hated each other. But as adults, yeah, there were a couple of times when, you know, we didn't agree with each other's life choices.
Right.
And you feel like, I'm your friend, so I owe you some honesty, even when you don't want to hear it.
Right.
Right? And this is goes both ways with Beth and me. You know, when do you tell the hard truth?
Right.
And how much of a measure of that is your friend?
Right.
Is how much of a measure of friendship is that?
Right.
You know, you hope that your friends wouldn't let you get away with being an idiot.
Right.
But also there comes a time when, like, you say your piece and you're done. So I know I've told you the story of my friend who was all set to marry a very nice guy that I knew she wasn't deeply in love with, and we were in our 20s, you know, early 20s, and I remember thinking, like, I'm really afraid to say anything against this guy, but I'm her friend, and I think of her as one of my best friends,
right?
So I feel like I kind of have to,
mm-hmm.
And I remember that conversation so well, and me saying, like, I really want you to be happy, and if this guy is going to make you really happy, then I'm all in.
Mm-hmm.
But, right?
Mm.
And she was wonderful. She said, you know, I appreciate your concern and feel the love behind your message and everything. We're going to be fine.
Yeah.
And I was done.
Right.
Until she broke up with him.
Right.
And then I was like, yes! All right. I'm so glad you dumped him. And she did end up with someone else. But yeah, there is that kind of burden of friendship. Of being honest and calling your friend out and being able to be called out.
Right.
And still remain friends.
Forgiveness. It's tough.
But, I mean, not just forgiveness, but acceptance.
Yeah.
You know, like,
right.
Okay, you have a point. I see it.
Right.
I own it.
Yeah.
I accept it. I'll try to do better.
Right. So that's my struggle for this next book.
Yeah.
It's forgiveness and, as you say, acceptance. That gave me some really good ideas.
All right.
Can we stop and
my
so I
work
can go
here
right?
is done. Time to get to work. Until next time.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to Crappy Friends on iTunes and consider leaving us a review. Email us your friend stories at theladies@crappyfriends.net.
I'm Joss Day.
And I'm Kristen Higgins.
And we're best friends. Forever.